And welcome to We're Mad About MASH, the podcast where we talk about our favorite show, MASH. That's M.A.S.H. I'm Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Now, before we get into today's episode, which is episode 15, one of my favorites, Tuttle.
Season one gem.
Now, I think one of the best episodes of season one, because there aren't many gems in season one,
MASH. Very true, very true.
Before we get into the regular episode, like we have done for the previous 14 episodes, mm-hmm. we're going to go straight to mail call. Now, this letter comes from Dr. Jeremy Skinner on Twitter, and he writes, "Long-time listener, first-time writer. I've been loving all 14 episodes of your MASH podcast." Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
"My question is this. Who is your favorite MASH character of all time?" Now, Ashley,
ooh, both eras of MASH.
Yes. Well, we're only 15 episodes into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is, you know, you could totally pick a later character,
mm-hmm.
but let's not get too spoilery, because the listeners that are coming along with us on this journey, I think, want to be surprised like we are. Now, we've seen the show before,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we want them to experience the turns and twists and people that... humans that might be chickens that are revealed later. That's a big one. Oops. I hope I didn't give that away.
You're not even following your own rules anymore.
I know. I'm 15 episodes in and I'm just silly gilly. Okay, Ashley, Is it a Humvee? Okay, who is your favorite MASH character?
Well, fortunately for the listeners who may be watching along at home and who've never seen MASH before.
Oh, yes, because we do this as a video podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. My favorite character from MASH is actually part of the original generation. And to be a little spoilery, some might even say is the reason why we got a new generation of faces. Is Trapper John McIntyre, played
really?
By the late, great Wayne Rogers.
Oh, that is too sad.
It is. And also shout out to David Ogden Steers, who recently joined him in their party in the sky.
I know. We started this podcast journey 14 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's sad to say that, you know, we pre-record some of these episodes,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we lost him somewhere around the time of our release of episode 11 or 12. And
yes.
This is the first episode that we could talk about it, and it's sad to lose one of those.
One of the greats.
One of the original doctors, I would say. Trapper.
Trapper John McIntyre, yes.
One of the movie characters.
One of the original...
The movie that we should not speak of.
No.
We don't speak about it on this podcast, Ashley.
Okay.
Okay.
Although
it does have Odo in it, Renee Auberjonois. But we don't speak about it.
That's true. And two of the actors from the television show, but that's
this
fine.
We are mad about the MASH
television
show.
All
yes.
11 years of a 3-year conflict originally?
Yes, the Korean War only lasted for 3 years.
Great job on the historical accuracy.
There are actually like 4 or 5 Christmas and New Year's episodes in MASH.
Yes, there are.
Yes. Okay. So Trapper John.
Yes, I think objectively, of course, it has to go to Hawkeye Pierce. And I think that Alan Alda is tremendous. But what I enjoy about Trapper is something that actually you told me once is that there's the idea that he might just hit you in the face. He brings a danger element to the show.
You're like a bad boy.
I do.
Okay.
Bad boy with curly blonde hair, evidently.
Does he have blonde hair? I always thought his hair was brown.
I would categorize it as blonde if it were me, yes.
All right. Maybe it's just a bad coloring of Technicolor.
That's
from the 70s.
I would say that is a good reason why we're perhaps unsure of the color.
Sure.
I think he brings a spark to the show, and I think he brings an energy that I really enjoy. Wayne Rogers and Alan Alda have tremendous chemistry that... spoilers for my opinions on some of the later seasons, I don't think is ever recaptured by his replacement. So how about you, Jason? Who, tell Mr. Jeremy, doctor, excuse me.
Doctor.
Excuse me,
doctor. He's a doctor.
Jeremy Skinner.
He went to doctor school.
That's why he's listening to this podcast.
I never put
yes.
that together. Now, as many of our longtime listeners of 15 episodes have known, Dr. Jeremy Skinner has written 8 of the previous letter columns. So please... other people, write in.
Mm-hmm.
Write
mm-hmm.
in to madaboutmash at puppies.supplies. That is a real email address, we swear. But, you know, it was the only one that let us do the asterisks.
Exactly.
In MASH.
Between all the letters.
Don't forget the asterisks in MASH.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. You know, my favorite character, I think, has to be Hawkeye. I don't think you can talk about MASH without talking about Hawkeye. And he makes the show. He breaks the show. There are very few episodes that aren't about Hawkeye. And for me, it would be very difficult to not give this answer to Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. So, and Alan Alda does a fantastic job in all 11 seasons. And he brings a lot of wit. He brings a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. And you really get to see his character grow. I know a lot of people have problems with how he is treated in the final episode of MASH. Believe me, we'll get there.
That'll be an interesting episode.
It'll be a long time. I think it'll be like 6 years away. But we'll get there. Mm-hmm. Stick with us, listeners. Mm-hmm. I think for fun's sakes, my favorite character would be who I think is the funniest guest actor who ever showed up in the show, and that is Colonel Sam Flagg. If you know Colonel Sam Flagg,
I confess, I knew this was coming.
Yes, yes. He is a joy, he's a delight, and he is probably my second favorite MASH character. All right, Ashley, what do you say we get into the episode?
I am very on board for this.
This is episode 15 of season 1 called Tuttle. That's T-U-T-T-L-E. The original air date was 1/14/73. It was written by Bruce Shelley and David Ketchum, and it was directed by William Wiard. All right, so, you know, the episode begins, of course, with Hawkeye and Trapper making a secret donation of medical supplies to a local orphanage. And, you know, we don't know that that's what they're carrying. You know, it kind of comes off the way I think it is portrayed is maybe it's a body.
Oh, I took it as maybe they were stealing supplies for the still.
We've
seen them steal a number of things or otherwise obfuscate supply chain and chain of command.
Let's do a quick estimate here. How many or how put a dollar figure? How many dollars do you think Hawkeye and Trapper have stolen from the army? Because my impression is it must be a lot.
Tens of thousands.
I think it's probably millions.
Yes.
Even in 1970 or 1950s times.
True. The interesting thing about this is, objectively, they are terrible army officers.
Yes. And they were drafted.
Absolutely. And even to the point where I would, I'm going to use some strong language here and say that they might be dicks in real life.
Oh, whoa. But don't go too much further than
I'm just going to back that up a little bit.
Yes. Apologize to our audience.
But they are, apologize for my use of strong language.
Yes, there you go.
But they are, at their heart of hearts, such good people, which is why they are good doctors.
Yes.
And I think the scene illustrates this perfectly. And for me, this opening really encapsulates what MASH is about and what their relationship is about.
What do you feel MASH is about?
I feel MASH is about examining the humanity in people under this incredibly stressful situation. And you get to see, because you get it from all characters, and I know you might see that as an oversimplification, but even a character like our much begrudged Frank Burns.
Who eats worms.
He does eat worms. I have a t-shirt that says that. We will see.
All right, show off.
Very dedicated to the show. We will see great moments of humanity coming up for him.
Yes.
And he speaks to Trapper and Hawkeye about their lack of friendship, and other characters like Charles, who's kind of a puff up. He's going to have great moments of humanity. And Hot Lips, who right now is a pretty one note character, is going to become incredibly complex. And you're going to see her making some very interesting moral decisions, not only about her patients, but about her relationship with Hawkeye as well. And I think those are moments where the show really shines.
Well put. We later find out that Hawkeye Sputter's Captain Tuttle is responsible for the supplies. We also get a joke that I think is quite clever where Trapper talks about Captain Humility.
I'll have the children at the orphanage write him a thank you letter tomorrow.
Oh, don't do that. He doesn't like anybody to make a fuss.
No. That's right. He's Mr. Humility.
Captain Humility, actually.
Who I think would make an amazing comic book. And if any of you out there want to do fan art of Captain Humility, don't forget to send it to madaboutmash with all the asterisks at puppies.supplies.
There's also a joke in this scene where Trapper and Hawkeye are talking about the sister and how wonderful she is and how much they like her. And Hawkeye says, she could never be more than a sister to me. There's a lot of good quips.
There's a lot of great wordplay in here, which I think is amazing.
Lovely lady.
Yeah, but she could never be more than the sister to me.
So we eventually get on to more scenes where Radar is taking the form around, of course, that needs to be finalized by Captain Tuttle. Of course, Hawkeye signs it. We see that
Radar admits that his imaginary friend was a little girl who looked just like him.
With good breasts, I believe?
With named Shirley, who had tiny, tiny breasts.
Now, when he said Shirley, I first thought that, of course, he was talking about Shirley Temple.
Oh, I did not think
Which would be a fine reference that for the 1950s.
Somehow even creepier than it was in my brain.
That's creepier?
I think so. She's an actual child.
Well, yes, she is. Radar was an actual child when he imagined the imaginary
yes,
friend.
Yes, the oldest looking 19-year-old in the military.
Radar then takes these forms, and one of the early gags of MASH Season 1 that I quite enjoy is... There's two gags between Radar and Henry Blake that they repeat constantly, and I love them every time they do them. It's the Radar's over-explanation of how to sign the forms, like sign here, triplicate here.
Yes.
Like, let's, you know. And then it is the Radar being able to anticipate.
Psychic Radar,
which we'll talk about a little bit later. Henry Blake also has a constant inability to remember what he does, because when McLean Stevenson does an amazing job portraying Henry Blake, of course.
He's a national treasure.
He is a fantastic actor, and I love Colonel Potter, spoilers for later on the show.
Horse hockey.
Yes, horse hockey and horse bullets and all those.
Buffalo bagels.
Buffalo chips is what he says. But I do miss Henry Blake, and
I wonder
how different the show would be if Henry Blake had lasted the 11 seasons. You know, I don't know. But I do find it funny that as soon as Radar brings up Tuttle, Henry's like, oh yeah, I had breakfast with him yesterday. Like, Henry feels so insecure about not knowing his command. He feels so insecure about being in command that he makes up answers.
Also, I think Henry Blake presents a very funny character because he's sort of the elder statesman at that point.
Yes.
He consistently brings up the fact that he's 40 years old and an old person. And by modern standards, that's quite a stretch.
Well, in 1950, that's a good pre-trek.
I would say by the 50s and probably even by the 70s standards when the show was first made.
Yes. We then get a scene with Frank and Hot Lips. I forgot to tell you that in that scene, of course, with Radar and Henry, we find out that Frank volunteers for everything.
Especially Officer of the Day.
Yep,
Officer of the Day, for those who might not know, is just taking on more work.
Well, Officer of the Day...
You don't get a pay bump.
Well, Officer of the Day is basically just, in vernacular, the person in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. So if anybody needs an answer about everything, they go to the Officer of the Day first before they go to Henry.
It's Frank's dream. Well, in a nutshell.
It's him basically being in charge.
Yes.
It is his perfect day, you know, like, but it is more work. Mm-hmm. You're basically on call, sitting in that office, waiting for people just to ask you so you can say yes or no.
Yes.
You know, and then at the end of the day, you make a report that goes to Henry saying of what you said yes or no to.
And let's be honest, it goes to Radar.
Well, yes, it goes to Radar. And then Radar tells Henry what to say yes
or no. And Henry initials it.
But Frank's first scene, we meet him. He's bothered that Tuttle hasn't reported to him because he's like, I am second in command, after all. And also, we learn that the real reason why Frank is bothered, and this is what makes Frank a perfect worm, he's bothered because he thinks Tuttle is going to replace him. Like, he thinks Tuttle is his competition.
You brought out how deeply insecure Henry was just a moment ago. This speaks to Frank's deep, deep insecurity. Mm-hmm. And Frank goes on a little later to fear that Margaret is going to leave him for Tuttle, even though she's never seen him.
Frank even says a line that I think is troubling by modern standards, where he says, oh, don't leave me, Margaret. I'll put my head underneath a Jeep.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're going to let your head get run over by a Jeep,
I think,
Frank?
I find it a little less troubling because he has a wife at home. So Frank is already the super bad guy.
Yes. We also learned some of the another recurring gag that's amazing is we hear lots of times about the pranks that Hawkeye and Trapper pull on. And Hawkeye and Trapper have glued Frank's Bible together, which, by the way, I think
would take so much work.
That would take so much work. I think that is a hilarious, hilarious practical joke.
And they drew a mustache?
No, they drew vampire fangs on his picture of Senator McCarthy, who is responsible for the blacklisting and the communist witch hunt in Hollywood.
I would say
of course he's Frank's hero.
Of course he is. To anyone who might be new to the show, who's maybe a younger member of our audience, if you thought the pranks in The Office were clever, they are nothing on MASH.
No. We then get a nice little scene and a recurring Easter egg that Radar reads comics. He specifically reads Captain Marvel comics.
Shazam
himself. We learn that Frank wants to see the report on Tuttle. He wants to see his personnel file. And Radar, of course, takes it to Trapper and Hawkeye, and we get to see a little bit of their schemes.
This is my very favorite scene in the entire episode. Okay. It's the boys filling out the forms.
Well, there are, some great wordplay in here where Hawkeye says, Mother, yes?
Harry and Frida Tuttle. Birthplace.
Hey, how about my hometown?
No, they've already got enough to be proud of. How about,
Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. Yeah, good. Okay. Religion.
Atheist.
I don't believe in atheism. Let's make him a druid.
What's that?
They worship trees.
Ah, tree surgeon.
And then
this is a druid reform.
And I believe this episode also contains one of your favorite MASH gifts that you use on Twitter.
Oh, I wrote this down. Okay. Yes. So, if you're following me on Twitter, you've seen me use Wayne Rogers as Trapper saying, yes. I think I'm in love. That gif is one of my ultimate favorites, and it is the button, as we say in the writing world, on this scene.
Yes. We then get another scene with Henry Blake, who now believes that he tells Frank, he's trying to show off to Frank, because Frank's like, let me see the personnel file on Tuttle. This is where they get to see all the things. Hot Lips falls in love because he has auburn hair and hazel eyes.
And he is something like 6'4" and 195 pounds.
Yep. And then Henry Blake goes, excuse me, I had breakfast with him yesterday, and now he's waiting on me for dinner. And Henry walks out of the room. Henry's so desperate for power that he's like, I'm going to have dinner with him now.
I don't even know if it's power as much as it is status.
Yes.
And he's just, and wouldn't you be desperate to keep Frank in his place?
I guess. I would just tell Frank to shut up.
Oh, that's...
I would just be like, shut up, Frank.
Quite a strong response.
I would lean more towards the Hawkeye treatment of Frank.
That's
just
fair.
Just shut up, Frank.
You'd be gluing his Bible together furiously while he was in surgery.
100 times. I do it every day. Every book I'd glue. You know, especially his copy of War and Peace. That thing would be glued together, too. And Moby Dick.
It's a heavy book.
You know, Frank has all the terrible, boring books, right?
All the boring classics.
That's the only books that he has. Boring classics. But Frank would never read them. He would just have them. To impress people.
Yes.
So, Margaret, of course, uses a tactic that she uses in several episodes of MASH and in future episodes of MASH as well, where she calls Sol to talk to the, the general. And this is...
General Clayton.
General Clayton, of course. This is... General Clayton's the general later in the episode. Is that the same general that she calls?
It's the one she is trying to call.
Okay, I did not write this down in my notes. So.
I did.
Okay, cool. This is the only time that we get to see Radar's radio pal, Sparky.
Who is much heard about.
He's played by Dennis Fimple in this episode. And there's, of course, continuing the Captain Marvel joke. I got the Captain Marvel annual. Thanks for sending that.
Yeah, and then he says, Shazam.
But we talk to Sparky a lot. It is a recurring gag in many episodes of MASH until Radar leaves. This is the only episode that we get to see Sparky.
Awesome.
So, which I think this makes it a remarkable episode of MASH. This also, by the way, I'm going to admit my bias. This is one of my favorite episodes of MASH.
What?
Yes. I think that this episode is one of the first episodes in season one that really shows you how good the show can be. Because there are, even though this is a silly and jocular episode, this is, I think this does have some heart to it. Like, what Trapper and Hawkeye are doing really matters. And I think we'll get to see more and more of that. But
they defraud the military to do it.
For the right way.
Yes.
Yes, they defraud the right way. But they take war funds to do it, as I think is how sort of they justify it. So I think I can kind of get behind that. So I really like the scene between Hawkeye and Hot Lips on the phone.
Hawkeye
and,
as the general?
Yeah, Hawkeye's like, wah, 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 you know.
I believe at this point, and I apologize for not being able to recall the exact episode. If you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know. We have seen General Clayton, and on the phone, when he is propositioning Margaret, he does giggle off it. And that's what Hawkeye is sort of playing toward.
But Hawkeye does not do, I would say, quite a great impression of
I would say not
general.
Even remotely a good one.
But because he throws dirty, he tells like, oh, I hope there's going to be an obscene phone call, Margaret. That's what convinces her.
Yes.
You can see it in her eyes. Like, that's the line where she's like, oh, yes, this is General Clayton.
Oh, well, Margaret is, for all her flaws, she is very trusting.
Hello, General. Major Houlihan. Margaret, I do hope this is going to be an obscene phone call.
And I think that that does eventually become one of her better qualities. But here it is her Achilles heel.
We also have to talk about that for the time in 1973, this is a very forward portrayal of a woman. Almost, I don't know if I would call it insulting, but it is very forward that she's a very sexually free woman.
I would not call it insulting. I would say for the time specifically, it's quite feminist.
Yes.
I would say
great way to put it.
I would say that there are moments that by modern standards are troubling.
Yes.
But something that I appreciate is everybody knows that Margaret is very sexually liberated, but nobody slut shames her.
No.
To her face, which would be something that could have happened and could still happen in a modern show. And
sure.
I actually really appreciate yes. the fact that Margaret is one of the only ones who's not married and she's still behaving just like everyone else, even though she's one of the only ones who might even be it might be permissible for her to behave
oh, sure.
that way.
Yes, yes.
So I'm pro Hot Lips Houlihan.
Then we move on to another one of my favorite scenes in this episode. Pierce wearing this bucket hat and getting Tuttle's mail. And you can tell Frank thinks it's Tuttle.
Yes.
Captain Tuttle?
No. Captain Pierce, M.D., Manic Press.
Is that yours?
No, the only mail I'll accept is a full apology from President Truman.
That is addressed to Captain Tuttle.
Very good, Frank. You read well enough to be a druggist.
Like, he thinks it's Tuttle.
The camera work is actually, and there's not a ton of inspired camera work in the show, just as a result of the way TV production was at the time. It's quite good.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't actually see Alan Alda's face until the reveal.
Like until he pulls him around, yes. And it does a good job of convincing you that it's not Alan Alda.
Mm-hmm. That it might be some other officer
person
that
Tuttle,
they've
yeah.
employed, yes.
And then, of course, the wordplay continues where Hawkeye says that all he wants in the mail is an apology from Truman.
Yes.
Frank then goes on the warpath searching for Tuttle, and then we get to a scene where the X-ray machine, and it's radar in the X-ray machine. Frank thinks it's Tuttle. Now, why do you think that Radar reveals himself to Frank?
I have no earthly.
He could have, because here's the thing. In the personnel file, they say that Tuttle is 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
Or 6'4", excuse me. And Frank sees Tuttle, thinks it's Tuttle, doesn't realize that like this guy is way shorter than Tuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Frank probably would have bought that it was Tuttle.
I think they do it because even though we are constantly pranking Frank as sort of the triumvirate that is Hawkeye, Radar, and Trapper, they also like to let him know that they're messing with him. And so I think this is one of those, it's still a gag for them, even though they have gone to such lengths that they need people to believe that Tuttle is real. So I think that Radar must have just wanted Frank to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think the reveal of taking the mask and the goggles off is for the audience, in case the audience can't figure it out.
Yes.
Because he pulls it off to camera before flipping around to Frank.
Oh, yes.
I do think it is a funny moment, though. Frank's exit is hilarious.
Oh, Frank's exit is super hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So things really get out of hand. Hawkeye and Trapper realize that Tuttle hasn't been paid in 14 months, and they make a request for back pay.
Yeah.
Just as I thought, Tuttle hasn't been paid in 14 months.
And he never said a word.
What a guy.
An army accountant shows up with these fat stacks of cash, a lot of cash in his pocket. And, of course, Pierce has been the signature for Captain Tuttle, so he puts on a mask and fakes as Captain Tuttle and then sends all of his money to the sisters at the orphanage, Sister Teresa's orphanage, excuse me. And this leads to, you know, General Clayton being so impressed that he wants to personally give Tuttle a recommendation. And again, more wordplay in this where General Clayton to Henry Blake is like, you know, the sister and, you know, and Henry Blake goes, oh, yes. And then
I didn't know you had a sister.
I didn't know he had a sister. Oh, she's a nun. Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Henry Henry is so stupid, but so charming.
Henry's innocent, I think.
That's probably more accurate.
You know, I would say the best way to describe Henry Blake, I think.
He's like a Labrador.
Well, he really shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying his best.
Mm-hmm.
He really is, but, you know, he can't quite get there. So Clayton arrives. The whole camp is gathered to witness the award. Tuttle is not there. We get the radar walks out to Colonel Blake right before he turns around, and it goes like, oh, don't do that. And we find out that Tuttle, Pierce shows up. Tuttle accidentally jumped off of a helicopter without a parachute in response to getting the urgent call to perform field surgery.
If I may interject, there is,
yes, please,
there is a brief scene earlier that we didn't touch on.
Oh, yes.
And it's okay. But Hawkeye says a line, Captain Pierce, M.D., manic depressive.
Oh,
and
I like that.
I wanted to bring up that line because I think it is possibly the most honest thing that Hawkeye has ever said.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the most honest thing that he has said in this episode when you look at his character and the scope of where he goes throughout the series. And for this line to be in season one, I just wanted to shout it out because I think it's really impressive.
Yes. We get some little beats after we learn that Tuttle is dead. Especially there's a nice little beat between Hot Lips and Frank where he's a patriot. He's like, and Frank says, our country can use all the Tuttles it can get.
Hot Lips, even when the general first shows up, is standing right beside Frank and blows a kiss at the general.
Yes.
Right in front of Frank.
Yes. Yeah. Because he's like waving at her. Like, yeah. Like, it's like everybody can see what he's doing. Then Henry Blake is so shook up, he even starts crying during this.
Yep.
And he asks Pierce to give the eulogy.
We can all be comforted by the thought that he's not really gone. That there's a little Tuttle left in all of us. In fact, you might say that all of us together made up Tuttle.
I'll never forget him.
Our grief will pass. It's already hard to remember exactly how Johnny looked, how he talked, his little laugh. Thankfully, he's left behind a memorial. I've been informed by radar that Captain Tuttle's GI insurance named Sister Teresa's orphanage as his sole beneficiary. How typical. We salute you, Captain Tuttle. Humanitarian and healer. Good luck, Doctor. In that great big waiting room in the sky.
And I think this scene really encapsulates everything. And then
I'd like to bring up a concern I have about this scene.
Oh, okay, yes.
Where is Trapper John McIntyre during this entire scene?
Oh, that's correct. Where is he?
I mentioned he's my favorite character. You never see him. And then when we cut back to the swamp.
For the stinger,
it's Radar, it's Hawkeye, and it's Trapper. And Trapper is delivering lines as if he had been there. And he's nowhere. He is sight unseen.
He could have just been in the back.
During this.
I have an explanation for where I think Trapper was.
Okay.
In the stinger, we learned that, Tuttle's dog tags and parachute came from Major Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Trapper was. He was having breakfast with Major Murdoch. Yes.
Major Matt.
Because
Murdoch?
That was a question that I had as well. Is like, it's not easy to get dog tags in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would certainly know.
You would have to sort of bribe a quartermaster or mm-hmm. some supply clerk. And I can imagine that being...
Isn't Radar the supply clerk?
Yes, but I don't know if at that time in the 50s...
Sure,
in
sure.
A field unit mm-hmm. in Korea that you... Because they are made with a machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special machine mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I don't know if they would have had that machine...
Interesting.
...in a field unit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have had that machine in Seoul.
Absolutely.
But... I don't know if every MASH would have a machine to make dog tags.
Probably not.
So they made fake dog tags, which I can only imagine during the Korean War would have been quite difficult.
I would also imagine it's probably a military offense.
It is.
To falsify dog
it
tags.
Is. Because your social security number is on mm-hmm. your dog tags. Because they're meant to be, your name is on your dog tags, your religion is on your dog tags, your blood type is on your dog mm-hmm. tags, and your social security number on your dog tags. Oh. It's everything they need to identify.
If
and,
you wind
and,
up in a MASH.
And medically treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But then we learn that Major Murdoch is part of the crew, and he is, again, going to... you know, replace. And that's the end of the episode. Real quick, there's some fun facts here that I'm pulling up from the mash.wikia.com. The parachute that Hawkeye holds at the end of this episode is a reserve chute, excuse me, for a T5 parachute and harness. A parachute like that would be little help jumping from the helicopter that Tuttle would have been used. So it wouldn't have worked no matter what.
He would have died either way.
Yes.
Had he been real.
In fact, in future episodes of MASH, what you do is you use a descent rope. And we see Hawkeye doing this several
times.
In one
of the Christmas episodes, in fact.
Exactly. As Santa Claus. Yes. It also says that this episode bears a resemblance to a 1934 film called Lieutenant Kiji, a Russian satire about an imaginary military officer who lives a rich life of intrigue, romance, and glory.
Wow.
So, yeah, so there you go. Ashley, let's, as we do every one of our Mad for MASH episodes, based on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, you know, little red cross circles. We haven't determined what we want to call these. So please, again, email us at madaboutmash with all the asterisks at puppies.supplies and tell us, you know, what do you think what should be the rankings? What should be martini? Oh, maybe it should be martinis.
Ooh, that's interesting. Or olives, martini olives with a little toothpick.
How did we not come up with this in 14 episodes? I'm shocked.
Well, the podcast learning curve is quite steep.
Ashley, out of a scale of 10, what would you give Tuttle?
I would give Tuttle a complete 9. I think it is a wonderful episode of MASH. The only reason I'm not giving it a 10 is because I do know some of the things that are coming down the line that I think are maybe a little more emotionally arresting than what we got here. But this exemplifies some of the best MASH television, and to have it occur as early in the first season as it does just speaks to the skills of everybody involved in making the episode. How about yourself?
I think this, many people will argue that the early seasons of MASH are filled with humor, and a lot of people don't think that these early episodes are as good as the later episodes.
Oh, they're so deeply incorrect.
I disagree. I think that these episodes are just as strong, and Tuttle, I think, is one of the best early season episodes. If you are asking me to make a top 10 list of episodes of MASH, Tuttle would make my list.
I would agree.
And we'll see once we go through this entirety of the podcast whether that changes or not. It'll be an interesting journey that you'll see, my friends. But Tuttle, for me, I would give it an 8 out of 10. I think the humor is strong, the wordplay is strong, and I think the characters are all here. We're 15 episodes in, and the characters are all here. And I think this sets a great tone for MASH. All right, that is it about Tuttle. Next week, we are going to be talking about episode 16, The Ring Banger. The synopsis is, a colonel, Buzz Brighton, played by Leslie Nielsen of The Naked Gun, arrives at the 4077 with a high casualty record. Trapper and Hawkeye attempt to have him shipped home by convincing him that he is insane. And if I remember right from my memories, I believe this is the episode that debuts the camp interior set that we see go on in the miniseason. Because if you notice in our episode, it was all exterior shots. I believe that this episode is the episode that debuts the interior camp set. We'll see once we watch it. Please join us there. You can find this podcast everywhere, Mad About MASH, everywhere that you can find podcasts. And we're Mad About MASH. I keep forgetting the name of our own podcast.
Well, the alliteration is fun.
Yes, it's hard, of course the email address is Mad About MASH. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But we'll see you next week for another episode about We're Mad About MASH. I am Dr. Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
I decided to make us all doctors.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening, and stay safe on the front.
You really do a good job, player. Just another pretty face.
Hang with the gang of the 4077. MASH, coming up next on the Hallmark Channel.
I'm a medical advisor to the police department.
Don't miss the Diagnosis Murder Marathon.
You expected less, but you're going to get more.
Catch Dick Van Dyke in a full day of murder mysteries.
Now you're going to see what I'm talking about.
The Diagnosis Murder Marathon, tomorrow at 11. Make it Hallmark Channel for the summer.
Oh, I'd like to be there for that.